Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The money you make at your job will come and go, but the imprint you leave on your coworkers will last beyond your lifetime. Today, more of Erwin Lutzer's five principles on how to make the glory of God the focus for all of life. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Now, more of Erwin Lutzer's look at God's glory in our lifestyle.
Received an email from a friend who may be listening to this who said that he was offered a job, he accepted, and then they withdrew the offer. That's not very nice. You accept it as from God. Now, how do you know whether or not you've accepted your situation from God? I'll give you a test. Can you give praise for it? Can you say, Lord, I thank you today that I am in a situation. I thank you for my boss. I thank you for my co-workers. In fact, it is important that you pray for each of them by name. I thank you that even though this isn't what I would have chosen, this isn't my preference, but here I am. Thank you, Lord, because you're going to do the will of God from the heart. Lesson number one, accept your situation as from the hand of God. And you know whether or not you have if you give praise to God. Second, never substitute, this is very critical, never substitute the lesser glory for the greater glory. Don't ever substitute the lesser glory for the greater glory. Now you and I are just alone together, enjoying a cup of coffee or possibly a cup of tea, and I'm looking into your eyes and you're looking into mine. I have a question for you. Is there something that you value more than the glory of God? It could be SPN. You're into sports. Football has its own glory. Baseball has its own glory. And it's possible for us to get so wrapped up in these things that we miss the glory of God. Sensuality has its own glory. But is it true in your life? Is it true in my life? And this message is being preached to me much more than it's being preached to you. Is it really true that we do not accept lesser glory for the greater glory of God? We have no substitutes. When I was a little boy, my brother convinced me to give my small dime to him in exchange for his big nickel. And I thought I was getting a bargain. Money can be a substitute for the glory of God. I know you need it to live, and the more we have it, the more of it, the easier life becomes. I understand that. But at the same time, money, success, recognition, all of those can be more important than the glory of God. Do not ever accept a lesser glory for the greater glory of God. Now I gave you a word, praise, for the first principle. Let me give you a word for the second principle. It is the word surrender. There has to come a time in our life when we die. We die to our own ambitions. We die to our own things that we think we deserve. We have to die to our own desire to be well known or well accomplished or rich, because we say to ourselves that these are lesser glories and nothing can substitute for the glory of God. Number three, God is most glorified in us. God is most glorified in us when we bear fruit in a desert. God is most glorified in us when we bear fruit in a desert. Herein is my Father glorified, Jesus says, that you bear much fruit. To be a fruit-bearing Christian in the midst of a wasteland. I know where some of you work. You work at a place that is just morally, on behalf of the employees, morally impure, let's put it that way. By the words that come out of people's mouth, by the kind of jokes that are told, by the undercutting, by the vicious criticism of others, and you live in that environment. Do you participate in that environment, or is there something different about you that shows that you have roots that go down to a hidden stream, to an oasis? And you don't have to live that way. And when you are sinned against, you don't have to sin in return, because God is most glorified in us when we bear fruit in a wasteland, in a desert. And God plants us there. Remember what your responsibility is. Your responsibility when you go to work is to show other people, to show other people what Jesus really is like and who he is. That's why God has you in that hard place. That's why he's putting you through difficult circumstances, is you are his witness there. Yes. In that sense, work can become a platform for it. And this means that you live a life of integrity. Because what does the text say? As we'll see in a moment, you're not serving man, you're serving Christ. Would you cheat from Jesus? Let me ask you that question. I remember a man saying that he was supposed to cheat in a bank. And he told the bank manager, if you expect me to cheat for you, what makes you think that I won't cheat against you? If you expect me to steal for you, what makes you think that I will not steal from you when I have the opportunity? Absolute integrity. Now, when you go to work, don't say to yourself, I wonder who I can buttonhole for Jesus. Go with an attitude of expectancy. Have you ever met people who are maybe, what shall I say, they're oversaved? You ever met anybody who's oversaved? A light bulb at work has to be changed, and they say, well, you know, Jesus is the light of the world. Somebody loses his keys, and he says, you know what you really need is keys to the kingdom. And the guy said, I'm not driving a kingdom. Don't be oversaved. If you are available to the Holy Spirit and available to God, God will give you an opportunity to represent Jesus Christ. And the word that we need to connect with this is courage. Courage. Don't be intimidated. And if you are intimidated, talk to people one-on-one. And in those environments, it's amazing how they will open up to you if you are a good listener and care about them. And then you can share Jesus with them. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's go on to number four. Number four. And this is what gave the slaves the ability to show the glory of God in horrendous conditions, way beyond what you and I have ever experienced. Number four, what you do is not as important as the person for whom you do it. What you do is not as important as the person for whom you do it. Look at what the text says. You have to read it again. Now we're in the sixth chapter of Ephesians again. Look at this. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord. You don't want to work for that boss? Stop working for him. Work for Jesus. If Jesus came out of heaven and said, I want to give you an assignment, I want to put you in where you are today, working with the people that you are today, and I want you to serve me here, and because you love me, I want you to serve with an attitude of cheerfulness in the midst of all of this, wouldn't you say, wow, if Jesus asked me to do that, I'd be glad to do that for him? Well, here's the news. Newsflash, he's put you there because he's asked you to do that. You see, to Jesus, it didn't matter whether he was washing the disciples' feet. Talk about being overqualified for his position, washing the disciples' feet. The person who flips burgers, who has a PhD, there's nothing wrong with that, nothing shameful about that. Because you see, after all, he is doing it for Jesus, and it isn't what you do, it's for whom you do it that gives it significance. You remember that story, it's a legend, but it has a point, that as the disciples were walking along, Jesus said to them, please pick up some stones. And so they picked up stones, and later on, Jesus turned them into bread. Later on, he asked them to pick up stones again, and this time, Peter especially picked up a really big, heavy one. They got to a river, and Jesus said, I just want you to throw the stones in the river. And the disciples thought, what is this? What sense does that make? And when Jesus saw their consternation, he said to them, for whom do you carry the stones? If Jesus asks you to pick up a stone and throw it in the river, isn't that okay? If Jesus asks you to do it and you're doing it for him, even though there doesn't seem to be any sense to it? Because it isn't what you do that's important, it's the person for whom you do it. And if you do it for Jesus, you can live in difficult circumstances, and in those circumstances display the glory of God. Because whatever you do, in word or deed, you do all to the glory of God. Not just the religious things, but everything. Elizabeth Elliot, we had her here a number of years ago, and you remember her husband was killed along with four others in Ecuador, I think it was. But I remember she spent 2 years working on a language, trying to break it down into writing with an informant. This is a laborious process. And in those days, no computers, no Xerox machines, no duplication. Somebody stole the suitcase with all of her work. Had to be done all over again from point zero. Somebody says, weren't you angry at God? And she said, no. She said, it was lost to us, but it wasn't lost to God. That was my worship to God for 2 years. I was worshiping. I did that for Jesus. And if he wants the suitcase stolen, he can have it stolen, but what I did for him lasts. What you do, the Sunday school classes that you teach that you have long ago forgotten about, the blessing that you have said to people as you have encouraged them and you can't remember that you even said it, all those things, the Bible says that God takes care of our works and keeps them and remembers them if they are done in his name for his glory. Even though this isn't what you were born for, even though it seems as if your aptitude is in one direction and your work in another, you are there to glorify God. It's all about God and not about you. Finally, and by the way, the word there that we should highlight is focus. You focus on Jesus. Finally, number five, you live your life with the assurance that heaven is coming. Heaven is coming. Do you have enough faith to believe this? You know, we live in such a litigious age. Everybody's suing everybody else. Oh, you know, I was fired from the job. Age discrimination. We've got a lawsuit on our hands. I'm not saying that all lawsuits are wrong. But why is it that we get so jumpy when we are wrong? Did you know that as Christians, when we get so nervous about it, it's because we don't believe God? That's why. You know, there's a passage of Scripture, almost the first 12 verses of James chapter 5 are devoted to the whole issue of employer-employee relationships. And James is very critical of the rich that are exploiting the poor. As a matter of fact, he says, go weep and howl for your miseries. You'd better know that judgment is coming to you. But this is what he says. Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, that is to say that these poor exploited people are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. He says, you have lived on this earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter because you have condemned the righteous person. And be patient, he says then to the brothers, because the Lord is at the door. God is going to straighten out these injustices. Of course you should work toward justice, especially in the lives of others. The people in James' day did not have a labor relations board. And if you can work with a labor relations board or some kind of a union so that you can address certain wrongs, we can do that in today's society. They didn't have that. And God says, what I want you to do is to trust me. I've heard the cry of the exploited and judgment is on its way. Rest knowing that it's in God's hands. You can't settle all of the wrongs. You have to give it to the Lord. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus did. You remember when Jesus was being crucified before it says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he uttered no threats. He didn't say, wait till I get a chance to blow you away. I'm going to sue you. He didn't say that. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him that judges righteously. Jesus said, I'm being falsely accused. I'm in the midst of a difficult situation. People are talking about me. Things are tough. The cross is just around the corner, but I'm content with the fact that someday my Father will set this right, and I rest with confidence in that. And so you go to work, and this is the way you do it. Tomorrow morning, you wake up. I hope you wake up. Of course, if you don't wake up here, there's another place where you're going to wake up. It'll be much better, I hope, I think. If you're going to heaven, it certainly will. But here's what you do. Remember now, during this series of messages, I'm teaching you. Before you get out of bed, I did it this morning. I've been doing it now for months. I say, oh Lord, today glorify yourself at my expense. That's the way you begin the day, because nothing else matters. Are you starting to get the point? Nothing else matters. And then you say, Lord, if this body were yours, if Jesus were in bed getting up to face his day, how would he go to work today? Would he chisel the boss? Would he talk behind the boss's back? Would he find that he'd join in the criticism and the office talk, which oftentimes is decidedly unholy? No, Jesus wouldn't do that. And neither should you, and neither should I. Because remember, we exist to help people to get a better conception of who Jesus is. That's the whole point. It's not whether you're fulfilled. It's whether or not God gets glory. Three men were on their knees working with stones, and someone went to the first one and said, what are you doing? He said, I am cutting stones. I'm chiseling stones. They went to the second and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm earning a living. And they went to the third and he said, I'm building a cathedral. God wants us to think big. All of life under the banner of the glory of God. Whatever you do, whether it's eating, drinking, word or deed, let all be done to the glory of God. Nothing else matters. Let's pray together. If God has talked to you today, would you talk to him? What issue are you bearing in your soul that you ought to give to him? Because it's not about you. It's about his glory. And it's about the work that he does in our hearts to accept our circumstances. Father, bless your word, however inadequately preached, and make it transforming, and may we live our lives from beginning to end for your glory. And if you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, right at this moment, I pray that you will receive him, his forgiveness, and then trust him, learn to trust him. And thank you that Jesus was willing to go to the cross. And thank you that he was willing to die within your goodwill, Father. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very important, my friend, that you listen for just a moment as I share my heart with you. This is Pastor Lutzer. Some of you are working in jobs that you do not like. You find it difficult to get up in the morning because there are problems with your boss. You are overworked and underpaid. It's the story that has been told 1,000 times plus. How do you handle that? Well, first of all, let me say that what you need to do is to take that job and turn it into a calling. That makes it entirely different. When you turn it into a calling, that means that you now see that you are in the place where God has brought you. You are there by the grace of God, and that's why, as this message emphasized, that whatever we do in word or deed should be done for him. So mentally, you make a shift. This is not for your boss. This is not just for the good of your company, though we hope that it will be that too. But this is really a day in which you serve the Lord, with all of its ups and downs, because this is your calling. Let me put it this way. If when you woke up in the morning, Jesus were to come to you and say, now today I want you to go to work for me, and you work for me, you go where you went yesterday, but with a different attitude, think of the difference that would make. That's what I think about when I speak about the glory of God in our calling, in our vocation. Well, in a moment, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Thanks for joining us here on Running to Win. Look forward to seeing you right here next time.
Do you think that the most important thing in the world is God?
Nothing Else Matters, a sermon series that emphatically says yes.
I want this to be an idol smasher. These messages are going to smash idols. They're going to be everywhere. Let me say also that we're going to do away with anxiety. Aren't you tired of it? And finally, and most importantly, for many of you, it is going to introduce you to the companionship of God.
In this series, Erwin Lutzer tells how the glory of God brings meaning to every area of life and prepares you for the life to come.
C.S. Lewis said that when we see God after death, at the end, he says, that face, which is the delight or the terror of the universe, must be turned upon each one of us with one expression or the other, either conferring glory inexpressible or inflicting shame that can never be cured or disguised. Once you experience the glory of God and you begin to live for his glory, what other people think, you will not be in bondage to their opinions. You will discover that your life is simplified.
Learn how God's glory impacts your church, your lifestyle, even your sexuality. Nothing Else Matters will be sent to you on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, you can reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Everyone has to deal with sex, since everyone was created a sexual being. No area of life is more challenging for a believer. 1 Corinthians was written to a church with serious moral issues. Next time on Running to Win, we'll go there to see our sex lives through the prism of the glory of God. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.